Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, Bill Federer concludes his series looking at how you are the key to turning things around. In addition to our daily programs, we produce resources, books, and DVDs designed to encourage and strengthen your faith. Our brand new books, Rise of the One World Mind by Josh Davis, Secret Societies by Micah Van Hus, and our brand new 10-episode television series, Pilgrimage to Zion. Pilgrimage to Zion is a special series that was filmed in Israel and Jordan. With the beautiful scenery of the Holy Land as our backdrop, our host and teacher, Larry Stamm, reveals Zion is about the Lord, His dwelling place, and His redeemed people, the people of God. You are invited to join us on this pilgrimage to Zion. All of these resources are available right now at swrc.com. That's swrc.com. Now, here is Josh Davis with today's guest, Bill Federer.
Should Christians involve themselves in government? Should they be involved in the political arena, or should they just stay out of it altogether? And one of the big questions that Christians ask is, what would Jesus do? And so are we giving our consent to the evils of our day by remaining silent about them? Here to encourage us and to offer solutions from God's Word is author William J. Federer, and he's got a brand new book that is so very timely, so very critical for such a time as this. It's called Silence Equals Consent, The Sin of Omission. Speak now or forever lose your freedom. Bill, we welcome you back to Watchmen on the Wall.
Josh, great to be with you.
Well, let's pick up where we left off on yesterday's program. Why don't you just continue unpacking some of this rich teaching out of Silence Equals Consent?
Well, we all know people that say, well, I'm a little more spiritual than you are because we just preach the gospel. Our church doesn't get involved in politics. We're so spiritual that we actually don't care what kind of country we're leaving our kids. We've been able to learn how to resist the temptation to care what kind of country we're leaving our kids. I mean, we're adding $1 trillion of debt every 100 days, but we don't care that our kids are going to have to deal with that. You know, our founders sacrificed their prosperity for their posterity. They pledged their lives and their fortunes and their sacred honor for a generation yet unborn. Yet today, it's the opposite. People are sacrificing their posterity for prosperity. Every 100 days, $1 trillion, they don't care. It reminds you of Hezekiah was sick, recovered. Ambassadors from Babylon came. Hezekiah proudly showed him everything he owned. And Isaiah comes. He says, what'd you show him? He goes, I showed him everything. And Isaiah said, someday all of that treasure is going to be in Babylon. And besides that, your sons will be eunuchs in the palace. And the eunuch is what? That's where they do something to their... Anyway, you get the picture. Yes. What's happening today is very similar to what's happening there.
That's true.
Hezekiah's response was like a lot of people today. Hezekiah, when he was told this, his response was, well, as long as it's going to be okay during my lifetime. And it's like, that's it, Hezekiah? You feel like reaching through the pages of the Bible and slapping it. It's like when David was told that his son with Bathsheba was going to die, David threw himself on his face and fasted for a week. And So here you got people say, hey, you know your kids, they're going to inherit this country that's a mess, and they're going to lose their freedom. So it's like, oh, I don't care, as long as it's okay during my lifetime. So to those people that we know that think they're being holy by not being involved, I have a question. What do you do with Numbers chapter 30? It's a short chapter, a half a dozen scenarios of silence equals consent. One, if a daughter binds herself with a vow while living in her father's house in her youth, and her father hears her vow and holds his peace, then all her vows shall stand. But if her father overrules her on the day that he hears, then none of her vows shall stand, and the Lord will release her. That's come down to us as vows in a wedding ceremony. And the pastor tells the church members, if you are silent when you hear these vows, you're giving your consent, right? If anyone present knows of any reason why this couple shall not be joined together in holy matrimony, speak now or forever hold your peace. If you're there holding your peace, your silence is giving consent to the wedding ceremony. It's a legal term called the rule of tacit admission, T-A-C-I-T. In Black's Law Dictionary, an admission reasonably inferable from a party's failure to act or speak. And in debt collection law, somebody owes you money, you wait 10 years to try to start collecting? The judge will say you're past the statute of limitations. If you really thought they owed you money, you would not have been silent for so long. It's in trademark law. You design a trademark. Somebody copies it and you know about it and you don't try to defend your trademark. The judge will say, well, you knew about it. You didn't defend it. They get to use it. It's in real estate law. Save up money and you buy maybe a little house or a condo somewhere. And lo and behold, you find out some illegal immigrant or somebody's living in it. Mm-hmm. And if you know about it and you don't try to charge them rent or evict them, they can gain title to your property through adverse possession just by you being silent. It's in our Constitution, Article 1, Section 7. Congress passes a bill, puts it on the president's desk. Quote, if any bill shall not be returned by the president within 10 days, the same shall be a law in like manner as if he had signed it. All the president has to do is let the bill sit on his desk and be silent for 10 days, and it equals his signature. And so if a church member's silence gives consent to wedding vows, it gives consent to other things. And if they're killing babies in the community and the church members are silent, the church members are giving consent to killing babies. Mm. If you give consent to sin, you're an accessory to the crime, and you will share in the judgment. Leviticus 20, any Israelite who sacrifices any of his children to Molech is to be put to death. If the members of the community close their eyes when that man sacrifices one of his children to Molech, I myself will set my face against him and his family and cut them off from their people together. Did you know that last year there was a bill in California to kill babies 28 days after birth?
Yes.
It was called a post-birth abortion. And enough pastors and church members, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, went to Sacramento and said, we cannot be silent. You have got to change this. And they forced them to change the wording. You know, Acts 22, the Apostle Paul's talking to the Lord, and he said, and when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by consenting to his death. Paul didn't throw a stone. He didn't even say a word. Yet he knew he was guilty for the death of Stephen just by standing there silent. Proverbs 24 says, rescue those who are unjustly sentenced to death. Don't stand back and let them die. Don't try to disclaim responsibility by saying you didn't know about it. For God, who knows all hearts, knows yours, and he knows you knew, and he will repay everyone according to their deeds. Mordecai tells Esther, there's a mandate from the government to kill the Jews. If you remain silent at this time, deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. Here's one, Numbers 20. Moses and Aaron are called to the door of the tabernacle. The Lord spake to Moses, take the rod, gather the assembly, thou and Aaron, speak to the rock, and it shall give forth water. Well, they gather the assembly. Moses lifts up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and water came out abundantly. End of the chapter. And the Lord spake to Moses, Aaron will not enter the land, because both of you rebelled against my command at the waters of Meribah. It's like both. We just read the chapter. Aaron did not do anything. Aaron did not say anything. Yeah, that's just it. Aaron was at the door of the tabernacle and heard God say, Moses, speak to the rock. When Moses lifted up the rod and hit the rock the first time, it probably took Aaron by surprise. When Moses lifted up the rod the second time, Aaron knew what was coming, and he did not protest. He didn't say, well, Moses, hold it. I was there. I heard God say, speak to the rock. No, he was silent, and in that instant, Aaron was guilty. Moses's was a sin of commission. Aaron's was a sin of omission. Leviticus 5, a person sins because he did not speak up, even though he was an eyewitness to a case or knew what happened. Anyone who failed to testify is guilty. It's like Martin Luther King Jr. said, he who accepts evil without protesting it is really cooperating with it. And the answer is as easy as saying, look, we don't agree with every church on every doctrine, but none of us are happy with what they're teaching in the schools. Let's just pick some mama bear and get behind her and vote her in, and then pack out the school board meeting early so they don't bus in people to beat up on her. If churches can just care about the children, not just the children that go to their church, but the children in their neighborhood around their church. If the churches can just, Jesus cares about them, doesn't he? If the church can just care about those kids, I think all the higher races will take care of themselves. Everybody that wants to run for, you know, office, they'll have learned how it works. And all they need is the blessing from the pastor. And there's different groups like Turning Point Faith and Salt and Light Council. And all the pastor who has picked somebody he trusts and say, get in touch with Turning Point Faith or Salt and Light Council. They'll train them how to register people. And the pastor doesn't have to do anything other than announcement time. Okay, Vacation Bible School and youth outreach. And oh, yeah, community involvement, go see Mary's table in the lobby. That's all he has to do. Let the body get involved. You know, an observation. As more power concentrates into fewer hands globally, God's counterbalance is to get more people involved locally. Let me say that again. As more power concentrates into fewer hands globally, God's counterbalance is to get more people involved locally. I think God wants to have an end time revival, but it's not going to be done through one or two big name preachers. It's going to be through the body of Christ being the body of Christ. Everybody being involved, an eye, an ear, a foot. Everybody's got different gifts. They're all going to get involved. You know, I had this one thought. Maybe God is letting the evil be exposed to expose the condition of our hearts. How much will we stomach? How much will we put up with? What will it take to get us to do something? I mean, if we're not going to play a good offense, let's at least play a good defense. If the church is not taking serious winning the world for Christ, at least don't keep your mouth shut when they're mutilating little kids. Every week, there's more articles of some swimmer that's a male, decides he's a female, and wins the race that these girls have been training for, you know, their whole lives, or they'll pick up a barbell. Here's an article on the Gateway Pundit. It says, male student who identifies as transgendered injures three girls during basketball game, causing opposing team to forfeit. Here's another article. Male field hockey player on female high school team knocks out girls' teeth mid-game. Some people say, I'm just going to wait for the rapture. Yeah, it's getting really bad. You know, come quickly, Lord Jesus, rescue me out of this mess. It's getting so bad. And I have a question for you. Who do you think you're going to meet when you're raptured? Jesus? Does Jesus love the little children? Yeah. You think he might wonder why you didn't do anything to protect him? I mean, we're not in North Korea or China or Iran where you don't vote. We're in America where the citizen is the king. The politicians are your servant. And even if we can't turn it around, shouldn't we at least try? There's a praise song, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And there's a line in the song that says, break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for the kingdom's cause. And I thought, what an interesting line to put in a praise song. Break my heart for what? Do you think it breaks Jesus's heart to have these little kids, boys and girls made in God's image, be mutilated, lied to? And then there's sex trafficking. Jim Caviezel did the movie Sound of Freedom. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it takes place in America. Yes. I was in Colorado a couple months ago, and a state rep, Scott Bottoms, introduced a bill for minimum punishment for those caught selling 1 to 5 year old children for sex. Every Democrat voted against it. There was an article in Newsweek dated May 30th, 2024. It says California Democrat calls out colleagues impassioned speech, I'm done. And it's Democrat State Senator Susan Eggman. And she was railing on her colleagues because they were fighting, wanting to have punishment for those selling underage children for sex. It was California Senate Bill 1414. And churches are silent. It's like, oh, they're selling children for sex. Well, we don't want to get involved. If you can be silent when you know about that, I wonder if you have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. Salvation Army. We've all heard of Salvation Army. Do you know how it started? William and Catherine Booth wanted to stop child sex trafficking in London, right? This is the 1800s. Unscrupulous people would go to a poor family and say, give us your daughter. We'll give her an education. She'll have a great life. And this innocent couple would be like, oh, promise, promise, promise. Yes, yes. As soon as they get the girl out of the house, they sell her into a brothel. And Catherine Booth said, I felt as though I must go and walk the streets and besiege the dens where these hellish iniquities are going on. To keep quiet seemed like being a traitor to humanity. What does our silence say about the condition of our hearts? Jesus warned in the last days, evil shall abound because the love of many will wax cold. I think in these lot of woke churches, their love is waxed cold. God gave Ezekiel a vision. He cried, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near. The old six men came, every man with a destroying weapon in his hand. He called to the man clothed with linen who had the rider's inkhorn at his side. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city and put a mark on the foreheads of those who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. To the others, he said, go after him through the city and slay old and young, but do not come near anyone on whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. What's the difference between being slain and not? Does your heart sigh and cry over the abominations in the city? And some people, they're so used to going along with all the evil. I think God is pulling back the curtain. You know, like the Wizard of Oz, you know, there's this big Oz, but then the Toto dog pulls back the curtain. It's an old man and a microphone. I think God is pulling back the curtain. And for the first time in my life, we're seeing Satan clubs on elementary school campuses, Satan worshiping Grammys, Satan trans clothes designers for Target, Disney FX having a little demon Satan cartoon, Satan statues in the Iowa State Capitol. It's almost like God saying, hello, Satan. And then people are being bolder for Jesus on the other side. And we're the bride of Christ. And every romance novel builds up to a decision-making moment, a forsaking of all others and choosing the one. God is pushing the world to this. And some people are going to go with the all others. They're going to want to be liked and friended and followed so much that they're going to say, yeah, they're doing all this. They're mutilating kids, but I don't care. I just want to be accepted. I don't want anybody to, you know, unfriend me. I don't want to be blocked. I don't want them to post something bad about me on the internet. And they'll just be silent. It says many were going to believe on Jesus, but they didn't do so publicly because they were afraid of being put out of the synagogue because they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. So I think God's pulling back the curtain and we're the bride of Christ. And he says, okay, we're getting close to the end of this romance novel. I need you to make your choice. God, devil, choose. Really simple. God, devil, choose. And some people are going to go along with the all others. I thought of Jesus. Well, we got to be like Jesus. Well, let's look. Jesus, did you know he didn't pet lambs all day long? His first sermon ended with them wanting to push him off a cliff. Another sermon ends with them picking up stones to stone him. Another sermon ends with them saying, this is a difficult saying. Who can bear it? And they stood up and walked out of church. They walked with him no more. He didn't run after him, say, oh, you misunderstood me. No, he turns to the 12. You want to go too? There's the door. Jesus was invited to dinner. A Pharisee noticed he did not wash his hands. Jesus says, you Pharisees are more concerned about the outside of the cup and not the inside. You're like a sepulcher, outside all carved and pretty and inside full of dead men's bones. And the lawyer says, well, Jesus, by saying that, you're insulting us lawyers. He goes, let me tell you about your lawyers. You heap burdens on people too heavy to carry. Don't even lift a finger. You hold the keys of knowledge. You don't go in. You don't let anybody else in. And then the chapter ends. And you wonder if they ever got around to eating dinner. You get the feeling they pushed Jesus out on the street, right? God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. To the prideful, our Jesus was tough as nails, right? Pride is a sin of Satan. But to the humble, he was as loving as can be, right? He who falls on the stone will be broken. He on whom it falls will be crushed. And what does that mean? That means if we voluntarily fall on the stone and we're broken, we confess that we're sinners, that we deserve judgment, and we thank God that Jesus died on the cross in our place so we can be forgiven. But for those that are prideful, right, they're going to face the tough side of God. And if preachers tone back the message because they're afraid of the negative response, they will be toning it back so much they won't get a positive response. There won't be any conviction of the Holy Spirit.
Friends, we're visiting with author William J. Federer. He's going to continue sharing these important truths with us. And you can pick up a copy of this book. And it is such a timely book. We cannot stress that enough. It's called Silence Equals Consent. You can pick up a copy of this book, over 300 pages in length, filled with all kinds of information that you need to arm yourself so that you can speak now or forever lose your freedom. The choice is yours, and the ball is in our court, and we have to decide individually which way we're going to go. You can order this book by calling us at 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or visit us online at swrc.com, swrc.com. Bill, as you were describing all of that, Ezekiel 33 just kept rolling through my mind. This program is called Watchmen on the Wall. And in that chapter of Scripture, God lays out for Ezekiel the role of that watchman on the wall. And if that watchman failed to blow the trumpet when the enemy was approaching, God would hold him guilty. The blood of the innocent people would be on the hands of the watchman who failed to sound the alarm. And then we see that if the watchman sounded the alarm, but the people ignored it, and the ball was in their court, and they didn't do it, but they were killed, God wouldn't hold the watchman as guilty, but the blood would be upon the people's heads for rejecting the message. And I think that so fits in with what you're describing for us in the role of pastors, to be that watchman on the wall, to sound the trumpet, to sound the alarm. The enemy is coming. Open your eyes, look out, see what's happening. And then the people have a responsibility then to respond to that truth. Why don't you continue explaining some of these powerful truths that you have in Silence Equals Consent?
Well, you know, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And some said, "Thou art John the Baptist," and some Elijah, and some Jeremiah. And of course, Peter said, "Thou art the Christ." But if you think of it, who was John the Baptist? He stood up to the corrupt King Herod. Who was Elijah? He stood up to Ahab and Jezebel. Who was Jeremiah? He stood up to the corrupt King Jehoiakim and Zedekiah. And they're mistaking Jesus for this? We are social creatures. We want to be accepted. We do not want to be rejected. Right? Even little kids, they call it now the social emotional learning, human behavior. And so everybody, these little kids all want to be accepted. And so they have what they call the pyramid of oppression. At the top of the pyramid are the cisgendered. That is their term for someone who believes there is a man and a woman. So if you believe there is a man and a woman, they call you cisgendered. They're at the top of the pyramid. They are the oppressors. Everybody else down the pyramid is being oppressed by the oppressors, the asexual, bisexual, transsexual, pansexual. And then they go into the classroom and said, "Hey kids, which ones are you?" Well, no kid wants to pick the cisgender, the oppressor at the top of the pyramid. They're the bad guys. They'll pick something else. They've had a 5,000% increase in trans identifying children in the last 3 years. It works. It works. And we're all sitting back letting it happen. You know, Peter was with a group around a fire, and a girl gets in his face and says, "You are with Jesus." Peter looks around the fire and everybody's eyeing him, and he realizes he's about to get rejected from this group that he wants to be a part of. And he says, "I never met the guy." It's like, that's it, Peter. You were with him just a couple hours ago and you came that fast? It is a real fear to be kicked out of a group of people that we want to be respected by, to have somebody post something negative about you, be canceled, to be unfriended. It hurts. But after the resurrection, Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Sanhedrin said, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name." And Peter replied, "We must obey God rather than men." Yes. Like, what happened to Peter? Suddenly he didn't care about getting kicked out of a group or a synagogue. What happened to him? He was filled with the Holy Spirit. I think maybe one of the evidences of being filled with the Holy Spirit is having the courage and boldness to speak out against corruption. There's fire in your bones. You just can't be silent. You have to do something. God told Jeremiah, "Be not afraid of their faces." And then Exodus, here's a verse that we skip over, Exodus 23:2. "Neither shall you follow a multitude in doing evil." Another translation says, do not do something just because everybody else is doing it. If you see a group of people doing wrong, don't join them. You must not let them persuade you. You must do what is right. Another translation, do not follow the crowd when it does what is wrong. And do not allow the popular view to sway you into offering testimony to pervert justice. So there's a whole, God predicts it. There's going to be a whole crowd that's going to embrace all this new trans agenda and everything. He wants you to be the stick in the mud. You know, some people say, "Well, I'm not going to do anything, but God knows my heart." It's like, yeah, he knew Abraham's heart, but he still wanted to see Abraham do something, take his beloved son Isaac to the top of Mount Moriah and be willing to offer him up. I mean, how would that go with a guy's watching football and you ask him, "When was the last time you told your wife you love her?" And he's like, "I can't remember, but she knows my heart." Okay. "When was the last time you did anything to show your wife you love her?" I can't remember, but she knows my heart. It's like, dude, we need to have a little talk here.
Yes.
Marriage counseling. People say, "God knows my heart." Because yes, he does know your heart, and he wants to hear some words out of your mouth, and he wants to see some actions. Right? We're spiritual beings that live in a physical world. Imagine a guy looking out the window and says, "Oh, I love that girl. I love her. And she's getting beat up on the parking lot. Oh, I love her. I love her." And you're watching. You don't love her. If you love her, you would run out there and risk your life trying to save her. You do something. You don't just say it. I think God is pushing the world to a do something moment. I don't think there's going to be a fence that you can sit on. The devil owns the fence. I think God is pushing everybody, even young people, even in schools, even in grade schools. He's pushing us all to a decision-making moment and to a forsaking of all others and choosing the one. And there are some people that are doing evil, and there are some people that are silent in the face of evil. And by their silence, they're giving their tacit approval to the evil. They're siding with it. And there are others of us that have said, you know what? I was silent and tolerated something I didn't feel good about. And then I stretched the rubber band and tolerated something else. But I'm sorry, I can't go with lifting up a scalpel and giving an 8-year-old girl a hysterectomy because she went through a tomboy phase. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I can't go with castrating a little boy because he played with his sister's dolls.
Yes.
And you cut the rubber band and it snaps back and you say, since I don't care about what people think about me anymore, I may as well be bolder for Jesus than ever before. And the split's made, the decision's made. I think God's pushing the world. We're getting close to the end of this romance novel. We can all sense that we're hitting these end times, and God's like, okay, I need you to make your decision. God, devil, choose, right? And so I think that it's time for us to stand up for Jesus and not care about what people think about us.
Amen.
Silence equals consent, the sin of omission. Speak now, forever lose your freedom.
Well, Bill Federer, we are so blessed to have you join us these last 2 days. Thank you so much for your heart for the Lord, for His Word, and that people really grasp a hold of this message. Friends, we want to encourage you, pick up a copy of this book, over 300 pages in length. It's called Silence Equals Consent. You can order it by going to swrc.com. That's swrc.com. Bill, thank you again for joining us on Watchmen on the Wall.
Thank you, Josh.
Silence Equals Consent, Bill Federer's brand new book, is here. Silence Equals Consent lays out the case that the time is now to speak up or lose your freedom. You look at the chaos all around and you ask yourself, what will happen next? How have godly people been persuaded to let ungodliness reign? In Silence Equals Consent, Bill Federer shows how America's founders were inspired by ancient Israel's covenant government and how this resulted in the U.S. Constitution. In Silence Equals Consent, you'll learn about the rule of tacit admission. Is it scriptural to not care about what kind of country we're leaving to our posterity? In Silence Equals Consent, you will discover if we are being given one last chance to show what we really believe in our hearts through our words and actions. Silence Equals Consent by Bill Federer. Order your copy today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order on our website, swrc.com. Silence Equals Consent by Bill Federer. 1-800-652-1144. Lord willing, we'll be back here Monday, ready to once again bring clarity to the chaos. Head into the weekend with the encouragement that God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners just like you. Please visit our website, swrc.com.